I want to rock.
Hello, babes. You're at the Headbangers Rock Show, where the past is still kicking ass. This isn't a podcast for nerds, hosers, piecers, or dudes that dress like girls. Unless those dudes play 80s metal, then, well, that's hot. Because nothing gets a girl looser than an ice-cold wine cooler and a monster riff. Now, here's your hosts, Joe and Chris, to take you on a sticky sweet adventure back to a time when rock and metal ruled the schools. The Headbangers Rock Show starts now.
Back on a beautiful January evening with the Headbangers Rock Show.
Rock show.
Me, I'm Joe. Across the way from me is
Chris 51 over here. There, Joseph,
and this is the Headbangers Rock Show. That's what we do. It's a podcast for everybody to enjoy that talks about 80s rock and heavy metal. And tonight, no exception. Matter of fact, tonight might be the quintessential 80s rock and heavy metal topic.
It's a big word. What did I tell you about using big words around me?
Tonight's episode is going to be talking about one of the bands that I think both epitomizes and stigmatizes our beloved era of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Would you say that? Would that be a fair, assumption to say?
I would say they put the hair in hair metal.
Yeah, they did. God, you're right. That's true. They did.
You know what I mean?
Hair, like, put the goddamn hair in hair metal. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at an album cover for the first time ever and think it's Hot Chicks, that's got to tell you something.
Yeah. Especially, you're right.
You gotta do a double take.
Like, man, these girls must rock. And if there's anybody out there that has zero clue what band we're talking about at this point, then you probably are not quite as entrenched in this genre as a lot of the listeners and you, Chris, and I are. Mm-hmm. Because that band we're talking about is Poison. So tonight we're going to talk about this morning, this afternoon, whenever it is for you, we're going to talk about, Poison, basically.
A whole show on Poison.
Yeah. You know, we haven't, we've definitely mentioned them. They've come up before and stuff like that. I mean, our show talking about 80s rock and heavy metal, you know, we typically touch a lot on the more popular bands of the genre. Mm. We've delved into some of the, deeper bands of the genre, but you know, the big boys are what we generally talk about. Motley Crue's and Def Leppard's and Twisted Sister's and Cinderella's.
Van Halen.
And, you know, just... Yeah. But, you know, weirdly enough, Poison is really big in the genre. And yet, I feel like we haven't really done a ton on Poison.
Nope. It's going to change tonight there, Joseph.
Yeah, it's going to change tonight. We are definitely going to talk ourselves a little bit. But what we decided to do is, as we typically do, we made a list.
Okay.
So we decided, we'll talk a little bit about Poison in general, this band, but we have a list of the top 10. Is that what we did?
Top 10?
Yeah, top 10 Poison songs, right?
Yeah, each of us picked our own top 10, right?
Yeah. Yep. Top 10 Poison songs. So we'll talk about but it'll give an idea of... kind of what we think about Poison, you know, based on what songs we pick from Poison. But if someone were to ask you, you know, off the street, hey, you do a podcast, man, I love Poison. What do you think about Poison? What would your response be if somebody said to you, what do you think about ... Poison? What do you think about Poison?
Oh, God. A quick response would be, I guess, kind of which era of Poison or which album of Poison, you know?
Sure.
Because Poison to me is started off great and mm-hmm. amazing and one of the best and burned out.
You're referencing the first album.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think in a lot of circles, if you're really just honing in on the genre of glam / 80s hair metal,
mm-hmm.
That first album, Look What the Cat Dragged In, is up there.
Oh, it's up there.
That's like, up there for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. That could be top 10, top 12, yeah. You know, as far as our genre is concerned.
And I think even though it's like relatively, I mean, even though there's they look like we talked about a minute ago, they look like fucking chicks on there. They, you know, the music is very bubblegum, very poppy. I mean, you damn near can't call it even metal. Well, you can't call it metal.
Yeah.
I mean, you can call it rock and roll, but it's even, I would say it's even on the more, you know, dare I say, pansy side of rock and roll, really. I mean, let's face it. Do I love it? Yeah, I love it. You know, yeah. I'm not afraid to admit it. I love pansies occasionally. But
that being said, what saved it, even though, yeah, it's pop metal almost, you know, but what saved it was lyrically and, you know, the videos and the lyrics being all about girls and,
you know, sex and
girls and stuff. And that
they threw us a curveball. They look like women and talk like women. So we thought they were, talked about women. So we thought there's this, look at this great lesbian band we got here. It's called Poison. No, but it's true. And I think with that first album, I think a lot of people kind of listened to it and it really, like, there was glam rock before Poison, which they didn't really, I mean, their first album was what, 86, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was glam rock. I mean, if you consider Rat and, Motley Crue, obviously with Theater of Pain. Yeah. I mean, Twisted Sister, the way they looked, what are some of the even Wasp to a degree, you know, and their music was a little edgier, but still, the glam scene
even
was
Van
basically,
Halen, like David Lee Roth started wearing all that stuff.
Yeah, and, true. I mean, you could throw in the 1984 type of stuff with it, Keel, you know, that those type of even lower Dokken, those type of bands too. But then when Poison came out, when that album came out, that album is so glam. They look so glam, and that album is almost like, God, you would almost say it's borderline like punk glam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shorter songs, quick riffs. You know, like, and it's just, it gets right to the point. You know, it's to me, it's you know, it's much cheesier than like a, you know, a Clash or something like that. But it's got that same kind of feel to it. That album, you know, it's just like I said. Short songs,
that formula,
the formula that they're so I think that's why I think that the kind of simplicity of it like that, I think, is what really to this day kind of makes it an iconic glam rock album.
I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, and they took what, you know, a lot of like Motley Crue and Rad and a lot of these bands singing, you know, Body Talk and, you know, all these types of songs that were half innuendo-ish. And Poison just came out and they're like, fuck that. We want action. We want sex. We want to talk dirty.
Right.
And they just kind of came out and said it, you know?
Yeah.
And people were like, okay, I can get down with this. I can agree with these lyrics. I like to party too.
Yeah. You know? And they got really freaking cheesy too.
Yeah.
Know, some of that stuff, you know, like, you know, what is it? Mama, let me go to the show.
Yeah.
I dig those bad boys that play the rock and roll, you know? Uh-huh. So they got a lot of cheesy stuff to it. They've got a lot of, but you're right. They have a lot. They didn't pull any punches with, you know, talking about chicks and stuff like that. Now, granted, though, they were, and we're talking 1986, so there were very few, you know, bands that were coming out that were dropping a lot of F bombs and this and that. And,
exactly.
And even the innuendo was fairly tame still at that point.
It was,
I mean, you really had to, you couldn't really come out and even be, you know, quasi vulgar about it. You almost really had to, you know, like down in the basement, lock the cellar door.
I mean, yeah. Until,
how kinky, you know.
I mean, really, probably
talk
until
dirty
like,
to me.
Until Guns N' Roses, maybe. Cause I think they kind of came out and kind of turned the edge on that. You
yeah,
know?
That's true. I think yeah.
They started
a year later, Guns N' Roses goes, yeah, let's not do this whole talk dirty to me. Like,
yeah,
bitch, get over here and let me.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
Yeah, talk dirty to me. Who wants to just talk dirty? Don't do anything else. Just talk dirty to me. Okay, so Poison is the centerfold. Poison is the centerpiece of the episode tonight. So we'll get. I mean, you know, I believe it or not, in tonight's episode, I don't really have any other sort of off the beaten trail subject.
You don't have a Rolling Stone list to piss the hell off?
I don't have a Rolling Stone. I read there was something on Loudwire. That I was gonna bring up, but it really wasn't, you know, it was one of those things where it wasn't so controversial that I thought I'd have to bring it up. But let me see if I can see it here. What is it? No, that's not it. It was something about it's not coming. Here's an article. I should have read this. How Tommy Lee inspired Axl Rose to write November Rain.
Really?
Hmm.
Wow.
I don't know how that would be interesting to see that. See what
you know. I read something. You know how November Rain has like the 27 of the exact same drum fills on.
Yeah,
it?
I did read that article.
Did you read
too.
That article?
Yeah, yeah.
How he was like trying to be like Elton John and
well, yeah, like Matt Sorum to this day takes a lot of shit for doing that.
Dun, 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 but dun. Axl wanted him to.
Like, they kind of both agreed that like it was supposed to be kind of a repetitive thing throughout the song.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made the song just easily flow and you didn't have to, you know, overthink which one, you know, the different drum fills. But yeah. It's kind of funny because a lot of people will be like, and I've often thought that too.
Oh, it drives me crazy. I had no idea that it was heavily inspired by Elton John. And I don't remember what song it was, but Axl literally wanted that kind of theatrical type sound in the background, and he didn't want the drum fills to take away from kind of the message of the song and all that. I thought it was really interesting. So
I could see that. I think that's right. I remember reading the article. So
let me say something too before I forget. Is I want to thank everybody who went on Facebook on our Facebook page after our last episode, our three-way battle.
Oh yeah, three-way battle.
The top, you know, the big five.
Yeah,
we had a lot of feedback. We asked people what their favorite album was: Pyromania, Stay Hungry, or Mental Health. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of feedback and people talking about it. So that we really enjoy that because we love talking about rock with you guys. So please keep that up. Visit our Facebook page after this episode and tell us what your favorite Poison song is.
Yeah, we put it out there. So last episode talking about what we usually think is the big five of the glam rock era albums, but we tackled three of them because we've done two of them in the past. We've done Shout Out the Devil versus Out of the Cellar. So this time we decided to do a three-way comparison between Pyromania, Stay Hungry, and
Mental Health.
And by far and away, people chiming in on Facebook, the winner was hands down, almost unanimous. I mean, there were some Mental Health and there were some Stay Hungries, but almost unanimously, probably 90% to 5% to 5%. You know what I mean? Like 90% Pyromania, maybe throw, you know, give 5% of it and go to Stay Hungry and Mental Health. So
Pyromania was the landslide winner. So.
Yeah. And when you and I did it, it was the landslide winner too.
We both
came out with that one being the winner. So,
after this episode, I'm interested to see what the winner is for the overall favorite Poison song, you know?
Yeah. And Poison has, so here's the thing. Let's talk about the albums for a quick sec here. Or actually, let's talk about Poison real quick for a minute. So they, I think they're, age-wise, I think they're a little younger than, you know, like Motley Crue, but not much, actually, believe it or not. Well, McMars. But like they're in that same kind of, you know, age-ish. I think they're about maybe 4 to 5 to 6 years younger, roughly, than Motley Crue, because they started playing, I think I read somewhere like late 70s, early 80s, you know, some Bret Michaels was tinkering around. So they used to be called, it says right here. Yeah. Formed in 1980.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was early for them.
It was 81.
Yeah. But I mean, when you think about some of the bands
album release 81.
They were playing in bands in the late 70s, you know, but yeah. So formed in 1980 and they were called Paris originally.
Mm-hmm.
It had Bret Michaels.
What's up with Nikki Sixx's band being called London?
London and Paris.
Paris.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I wonder, was it the Scorpions, were they called Berlin?
I know, right? Loudness was Tokyo.
What's his name? Ted Nugent. He just called himself Dearborn.
Yeah.
Okay, so it had Michaels, Bret Michaels, Bobby Dahl, Ricky Rocket, and... This is what I always think is just absolutely freaking hilarious about the original lineup. You had Bret Michaels, you know, a little two first name type of thing going on, easy to roll off the lip. Bret Michaels, okay, sounds like a stage name, you know, easy to say. Bobby Dahl, you know, okay, yeah, cute. Ricky Rocket, yeah, we get it. And then the original guitar player was Matt Smith.
No wonder he didn't last.
I know. Is
he
that
didn't
funny?
Have the right name.
Yeah, they all had like these stage names. He's like, Matt's, how you doing? I'm Matt Smith. Maybe that was his stage name. Maybe his real name was like
God
Pierre Slavinsky or something.
I can imagine
that.
Like my name is CC DeVille comes in for audition. They're like, you're hired.
Yeah.
We just love that name. Get
based
in here.
On that. Well, interestingly enough, so they moved to LA in like 83 and they tinker around for a little bit trying to get club shows. You know, they're all doing the thing as in, you know, 83, 84, 85. So Sunset Strip is pretty big at this point, you know, and they're just trying to make their way. I think they're making a decent name for themselves. You know,
Paris still, or was it Poison by this time?
I think they had already changed it to Poison at this time. I think so, yeah. And then so Matt Smith decides in like 85, you know, they've been there for a year or two now and they're doing okay, but you know, he probably at that point thinks he sees the writing on the wall and it's like, what are the odds we're going to be like this big band, you know? So his girlfriend was pregnant. So he left the band and moved back to Pennsylvania, which is where they're from originally, Pennsylvania. So they audition a couple of guitarists for the band. It came down to basically two guitarists, CC DeVille and somebody else. And do you know who almost got the job?
No.
Not CC DeVille. No. Slash.
No way.
Slash went in. They held tryouts. Slash went in and tried out for him. He said he learned like half a dozen of their songs. He said he felt like he crushed them in the audition. I don't know. I was reading this interview with him. He said one of the only things I remember them asking me is what kind of shoes was I going to wear if we played out live. You know. And so he said he remembers seeing CC DeVille coming in as he was leaving to do his audition. And he said he took one look at CC DeVille and thought, oh yeah, this guy's gonna this is the guy that's gonna get the job, not me. And sure enough, they got CC and
CC DeVille holds his own, but
I can imagine if Slash were to have been in it, I can't imagine he would have been like long term, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He obviously fits more Guns N' Roses, but I can't. If they got him in there, he probably. I don't think he would have acquiesced to the hairspray and big hair.
What
and
a
stuff
different
like that.
Sound it would have been. Good
oh, God. Yeah, can you imagine?
But what about poor Matt Smith? What an idiot! He leaves, and a year later they blow up.
I know, isn't that crazy? I wonder. Yeah, I would love to hear like an interview with Matt Smith like later in life and what his thought process was when he saw Poison just absolutely blow up. Going, oh my God, dude! I was in that band about a year and a half ago.
Wow,
and crazy. Now they're huge. But you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes because from what I understand, the sound that they had with Matt Smith, and there's a video or two on YouTube where you can see them playing with him. What I understand, it was a little different. Like, he wasn't quite as, you know, he didn't buy into the sound that eventually became Poison as much as, like, a CC DeVille did.
Yeah.
So, he had a little bit different, they had a little different sound. Not terribly different, but I'm guessing from what I've heard, maybe a tiny bit more like a Dokken versus a Poison, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit that way, in that direction. Anyway, so they had three albums with CC DeVille in the 80s/90s, right? Mm-hmm. Three. Look What the Cat Dragged In, Open Up and Say Ah, and then Flesh and Blood.
Yeah.
And then CC, then he left. Richie Kotzen comes in. They did that Native Tongue album in 93.
Which you could tell is a completely different sound.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's Native Tongue, Poison's Native Tongue is. To me, it's the reason it sounds so different is because it was 1993. Mm-hmm. The same way Motley Crue album 94 sounds the way it does. Same way that like Arcade sounds the way they do with Stephen Pearcy. You know, Warrant started to change a little bit too. All those 80s bands started to get a little heavier, a little different. You know, got away from some of the bubblegum stuff. Native Tongue is no different. And Richie Kotzen was young when he would join there. Mm. I mean, he's a guitar virtuoso now, an awesome performer. But he was just a young kid when he joined them. Anyways, there was a controversy with Richie Kotzen after a couple of years. I guess maybe he ended up like dating Ricky Rocket's girlfriend or something, so they kicked him out of the band. Uh-huh. And then they did bring in another guitarist after this named Blues Saraceno, and they didn't. From what I gather, they didn't really. That was from like I don't know, like 95, you know, to. Up to about the time when CC came in, but they really didn't do much with this Blues Saraceno. Oh. I mean, he had a couple like songs they did on like a greatest hits album, new songs, but they never put out an album with him, like a full album. And then when CC came back, that's when they did
Holly Weird.
Yeah. Well, they did. Power to the People. Yeah. But that's Power to the People. Yeah, that's right. It is a. Let's see. It's Power of the People, though, is a live album, right?
Yeah, there's like one, two, three, four. There's like four or five songs. Studio songs and the rest new are all studio, live.
With CeCe DeVille.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I saw them right about this time in 2001 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember them doing I Hate Every Bone in Your Body But Mine. And uh-huh. CeCe sang it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so they did Power of the People, but also right before Power of the People came out, they had put out Crack a Smile and More. Which I think was, again, just another greatest hits with a couple of songs on it. Yeah. And I think those are the ones that Blues Saraceno is on. Yes, and then in 2002, they had Holly Weird, which was weird album. Mm-hmm. Not very good at all, in my opinion. Then they had Poisoned with apostrophe D, which that's like an album where they did a bunch of covers, basically. It's all like Poisoned doing just covers, if I remember right.
Yeah, Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah, it's just an album full of covers.
Your Mama Don't Dance, We're an American Band.
Yeah, so just an album full of covers. So basically, when it comes down to Poison, for the most part, it's those three 80s albums. Well, Flesh and Blood is 90, but it's those three albums. They have Native Tongue, if you're a fan of it, and we'll find out if either of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they really only have one other album, and that was Holly Weird.
Yeah.
But then they have all these like kind of like throw on three or four or five new songs on a live album or on a greatest hits album.
Something like a record label told them they had to come out with an album.
And it was, again, it was the 90s and early 2000s. So there probably wasn't this huge appetite for full albums by Poison.
I
mean, really, there wasn't. So anyways, all right. Well, let's go ahead and start kind of getting into these songs here. Our top 10. So what we did is we said, let's listen to Poison or from what you know of them. And, you know, some of it I had to go back and listen to see, you know, give me some songs that I'm not thinking of that would be in my top 10. I had a feeling I knew a couple of them already. I don't know. Let's answer one more question before we get going. We asked you what you think about Poison, right? Mm-hmm. And someone said, what do you think? Are you a fan of Poison? I mean, if your 80s rock fandom, if you could quantify it on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, a band like Motley Crue might be a 10, right?
Right, right.
Band like Dio might be a 9.5, right?
Yeah.
Iron Maiden might be a 10.
Right.
Rat might be a 10. I don't know, maybe Dokken might be a 6 or a 7, right?
Yeah.
What is Poison for you? Like, where do they fall in your spectrum of likability?
I would say, if I'm just talking about their first couple albums.
I mean, just in general.
In general.
I mean, we're talking about their 80s stuff, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, yeah.
For the most part.
I mean, they're definitely up there with a Dokken. They're kind of in that range for me, like a...
You'd give them over 5.
A Dokken.
But maybe not quite up to 8 type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I would say I'd give them a solid 6.
6, okay.
Now, if I'm looking at, you know, if I'm looking at, like, Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Sure.
You know, I'm giving that like a 9, 9.5.
As an album,
know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But I'll give them a solid 6 because some of that, they start going downhill.
Yeah, that's true. They do start kind of, you know, that out. It was hard, I mean, obviously the biggest album hit-wise or commercially was Open Up and Say Ah, second one. But yeah, the first one, I think a lot of people that like Poison would probably rank the albums like they would probably go down sequentially best, then the second best, and the third, you know, most people probably would. But
yeah.
Okay, so I would say I'm probably right there with you. I might put them as high as maybe I might put them in like a 7-ish, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I like a lot of their stuff, but I also, you know, I mean, coin the phrase from that dude on Better Off Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I'm no dummy. I've been at this school for 7 years. I'm no dummy. So
yep.
I'm no dummy. I can see Poison. I can see Poison for what they are. Like, I see them and I'm just...
He played Booger Presley on Revenge of the Nurse too. What was that guy?
I don't remember his name in that movie, but I can see Poison for what they are. Everything in the 80s was cheesy, but they definitely took cheese to the next level in a lot of ways, not only in just the way they dressed, but just kind of the way they were. They were just kind of cheesy guys. Although I think CeCe DeVille was probably, you know, he was probably, in my opinion, like the coolest of the guys in that band, like the most rock star
exactly.
The way he was, and he was just flamboyant. He
and
was
all
crazy,
flamboyant
and
guitars
and
everything.
Yeah, great guitarist and everything. So, okay, so let's do it. Let's start with the top 10 list.
Top
so we're going to do top 10 Poison. What's number 10 for you?
Okay, I got to preface this. I got to preface this. Mm-hmm. So Poison, and I went like I did last time with Stay Hungry and Mental Health and stuff. Mm-hmm. I went through Poison and I listened to everything, even the hits. Even, well, I skipped Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Okay, I skipped that one.
It's not on your list, huh?
No. But no. I went through and I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to these hits. Why did I like this in the first place? Why did it become a hit? And I tried to listen to it with like fresh ears, you know? And not something that's been burnt out over the time, you know. So mm-hmm. I gave them all a fair listen, and I realized mm-hmm. that they're hits for a reason. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of Poison's deep cuts I did not like. Mm-hmm. And I went back and I tried. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, I don't want to be hits 51 again. And just anyone who listens to the show knows I like to pick a lot of the hits. And I knew with Poison, it's like, then they had a lot of hits.
But, so you would be the epitome of, like, you don't know what you like, but you like what you know.
That's true.
Okay. All right.
I tried going to some deep cuts, and God, I just couldn't get into a lot of deep cuts. So my list will be full of hits.
Full of hits.
And, so but I ranked the hits on going back and listening to them, like I said, with fresh ears and kind of giving them a refeel, you know, and like, okay, well.
So basically what we're going to see is if you were in charge of Poison, you were like their manager, mm-hmm. and you were tasked with telling them, with coming up with their latest, greatest hits album. This is what it would be.
Yeah, this would be.
Okay, all right. Minus Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Maybe one or two deep cuts in there. But
number 10. What is
number
it?
Number 10 for me is off Flesh and Blood.
Flesh and Blood.
A little bit of a slower one, but I love the rhythm of this song. I love Brett's voice. It is Life Goes On.
Yeah, Life Goes On is a good one.
I really love that song.
It's a good, I mean, it's good. When you first said the slow one, I thought you were going to tell me Something to Believe In, which that might be coming up.
Maybe. I'm not even going to pick Something to Believe In.
Okay, all right. So
that Something to Believe In and Every Rose Has Its Thorn, those are just off the list automatically.
Yeah, those are,
Yeah,
sorry about those songs.
Okay, Life Goes On for me, Life Goes Flesh On. And Blood. How about you?
I like that song. It is. It's like mid-tempo.
Yeah, it's a mid-tempo.
Yeah. Well, it might be more borderline slow, but it's probably...
But the chorus kind of... Yeah, the good harmonizing, and like, I love it,
And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was a single release off there. Uh-huh. Was it like one of the bigger ones off
there?
Yeah,
but it was a release.
But it was a single release, yeah. Okay. My number 10, see, for me, I'm actually a pretty big fan of Native Tongue.
Really?
Yeah, really big fan of Native Tongue.
God, I can't when stand it. Came it. Out, it's so when it, bluesy.
Nah, when it came out, I loved it. I didn't even know who the hell Richie Kotzen was. And when it came out, I just remember thinking, God, this is pretty good. Even Bret Michaels, the way he sings on that album is just a little less Bret Michaels and a little more just, you know, I don't want to say his voice gets any grittier really, but there's no whoops and yells and DTDs and, you know, it's like he's a little bit more focused and just a kind of a singer in this one.
Okay, but that aside, mm-hmm. the music just, without CeCe, it's just
So here's the thing: I didn't know who Richie Kotzen was back then. I just knew he was this new guitarist that they got. And I listened to the album. I remember just loving this album. And it wasn't until years later, and now I'm a huge Richie Kotzen fan. I mean, I love Winery Dogs, especially. I love a lot of Richie Kotzen's stuff he's done on his solo album, you know. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me that I really liked this at the time. Mm-hmm. I liked the direction they were, you know, going in at that time because I think, you know, myself, like everybody else, was kind of like over the whole, you know, okay, Poison with the, you know, with the songs that basically sound like beer commercials, you know, nothing but a good time, you know, and then all of a sudden Milwaukee's best. You know, like,
if I'm listening to Poison, that's what I'm listening to it for. Honestly.
Well, I mean, if I'm listening to Poison, I have no problem drinking Milwaukee's best either. So, but you know what I mean? Like it was the first Poison album where I felt like it was, you know, it just felt more in tune with like the time, but I don't know. I really dug them. Anyways, I dig the album. So this may not be my only song from this album, but Stay Alive, which is, I think, is song three.
Stay Alive, I think it's three. Yeah,
yeah, three. So Stay Alive.
Damn.
Yeah,
Stay Alive. Think, honestly, I don't think a single song from Native Tongue would make it in my top 50.
Really?
Poison. I hate that album much, dude.
That's crazy.
I even went back. I was like, you know, I never listened to this album much. I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I listened to 20 seconds of each song. I'm like, next. I'm like, God, no wonder I didn't listen to this album.
Stay Alive?
It blows.
Oh, Stay Alive is so good.
To me, it's just not Poison. Like, and I don't even like it for if it was a different band. Like, it's just not.
It's not Poison and it's not for you, right?
Not for me.
Not Poison and not for you.
In fact, I'd probably pick a song off of Hollyweird Hollyweird before I picked a song off of Native Tongue.
God, Hollyweird is just Hollyweird.
I can't stand Native Tongue.
Yeah, we'll have to end up talking.
Like Hollyweird.
Yeah, we'll have to end up talking because that was like that was Poison, like somehow trying to be Poison again, and it just didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
It just didn't work at all. Nothing on that album worked. So you won't see any Hollyweird from me. Just a heads up.
No, you won't from me either.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Okay, so Stay Alive and what'd you pick? Life Goes On. Those are our number tens on our list. I like Life Goes On, but I'm gonna port that. You're gonna like Native Tongue before this episode's over.
We'll see.
You don't see it coming, here coming, acting like you know enough about that strange voodoo going on around here. To the land of the living, where the sun do shine. Things be different, you didn't got it. Better get it out. Stay alive. Let your soul rise up from the bottom. Stay alive. Don't let it take you down for the very last time. Stay alive. Don't do you no good to look it up from the bottom. Stay alive. Don't let it take you down. Don't do you no good with your face in the cocaine. Love ain't a watch that mother, she bring you down like no other I see. If you know what I mean, take me back. Gotta face that demon. Take me back. Know to play it smooth. Take me back. Things be different again. No matter how hard I try, this feeling won't end. So I pretend you're here by my side. Tonight, on this lonely ride, keep telling myself that life goes on while you're miles away. And I need you.
Yeah, Life Goes On actually is pretty slow.
Yeah, yeah,
it is pretty slow. I was thinking, yeah, kind of mid-tempo, but no, it's pretty much a slow song.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at you.
I know. Jeez. That's not the only one on there.
Golly.
God, I don't know how you like that song, though, dude.
Stay Alive?
It's like Poison talking about I Want Action to having like a church choir sing the background vocals like...
They just showed they flexed their muscles a little bit. Showed how diversive.
It's like they, you know, that god awful song Swamp Juice on Flesh
yeah,
and Blood.
Right, yeah.
It's like they took Swamp. They're like, you know what? Let's sound more like Swamp Juice, and I call that Swamp Juice music. Is what I call that.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely a little bit. It's got a bluesy atmosphere to the album, I guess. But
yeah,
it's definitely different. And there's some things in it. Yeah, there is actually quite a few songs where there's some very kind of gospel-ish type of background vocals in it.
I can't stand that stuff, dude.
And there is one song on there. I think is retarded. They're trying to be all 1993 politically correct type stuff. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, the song is good, but the lyrics are not great. But anyways, okay.
Okay.
So number nine for you. Ooh, number nine is gonna be interesting.
I'm getting my slow songs out of the way.
Chris 51 song here. Okay, yeah. What's yours?
Get my slow songs out of the way. Up off of Open Up and Say is
gotta be Every Rose.
Fallen Angel.
So funny, dude. That's my number nine too.
Is it really?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I love that song, dude. Always have.
Yeah, I think it's a good song. I mean, it was a huge hit. Something about it I always liked. I'm not usually huge on songs that are like tell a story. But sometimes okay. And in that one, because it kind of tells a story.
It's a cool
story.
And it's a cool video. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. I like it.
And it's got, yeah, I love the kind of the pre-chorus into the chorus, you know, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I like Fallen Angel. I think it's actually a good song.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah. And it was one of their bigger hits, right?
It was.
Off that album. Although I think it was like the third. Like it was, I think Every Rose was definitely the biggest.
Right.
Nothing But a Good Time, and then maybe this one.
Yeah. Right. That's what I would say.
Yeah. The chick in that video was pretty hot, if I remember right.
That's the whole reason I liked the beginning of that video. Yeah.
Well, I mean, any 80s video had
every one of them.
I mean, every one of them did. Okay. We're so down
we,
to
we agreed on a hit.
Yeah, we each had. Yeah, that might be about. Probably. That might be my biggest hit on this whole thing. all right. So now down to number eight. What's your number eight song?
Number Poison. Eight. This is one you definitely won't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I love this song. It's so probably cheesy. Not. It's so cheesy, but it's so catchy. Like
catchy and cheesy.
It's catchy and cheesy. You just want to bop to it.
Is it Unskinny Bop?
Yeah, you want to bop to it.
Okay, you love that bass line. Boom, 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 boom.
I just
boom,
love it. Boom, I love boom. That song. And my son loves that song. He plays it all the time on the radio, so I hear it all the damn time. So I know it so well.
Oh, okay.
So I do like that song a lot.
Okay, well,
I did this from the moment it came out.
That's fair. I mean, it was definitely a hit from that album. I never was really a huge into that song for whatever reason. But I have my number eight is off the same album.
All Flesh and Blood?
Yeah, Something to Believe In.
Oh.
No, just kidding. It's not.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's Flesh and Blood, Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, okay.
Sacrifice, Flesh and Blood. Off. It's kinda, I guess that's the title track of the album, roughly.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that song was...
And it's song three. I mean, we know our song three is always good.
Let's Shed Blood,
I do like that song. It didn't make my list, but it was up there. It was in consideration.
Yeah, and I don't think it was ever, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think that was ever like a release or anything like that. No.
No, that wasn't a single.
Yeah, so. All right, well, Flesh and Blood, for me, Sacrifice, and for you, off the Flesh and Blood album.
Unskinny Bop.
Unskinny Bop.
Just blows me away.
I have to admit, there wasn't a ton on that album that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I like Flesh and Blood, and there's a couple on here I like, but I don't know, as a whole... You know, I thought Ride the Wind was okay. And there's a couple others on there. I don't even know if I have another one on there. Oh, I do have one other one on there. Yeah. I really, really of the 10, 11 songs they have on there, I think maybe just a handful of them I even really dug.
Mm-hmm.
But Okay. Number seven, what is it for you?
Number seven goes back to Open Up and Say Ah for me.
Okay.
And it's You Can Look, But You Can't Touch. Because the best things in life are free, you know. Love that song.
Yeah, what song? That's
Look, But You Can't Touch.
Look, that's what it's called. Look, But You Can't Touch.
Yeah, off Open Up and Say Ah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, why did I think that? When you were singing it, I thought it was. I was waiting for the chorus because I'm like, I know that song. Yeah,
that is. Yeah.
So it's called. Okay.
Look,
yeah.
But You Can't Touch.
Look, But You Can't Touch. Right.
That's a deep track for me, there, yeah, Joseph.
What song?
It's song is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Song 6.
Song 6. Okay.
Yeah. Just before Fallen Angel. It's like the.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Actually, I love this song, but for some reason I was thinking it was called something different. But yeah, Look, But You Can't.
I love
touch.
The way he sings that song. It's just. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's a good song. I mean, you know, it's one of those ones. It's not on my list, but I think it could easily been there.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, it's kind of weird. We're lining up. In some ways, pretty similar because, with the exception of Native Tongue, for me at number 10, each of ours have been off the same album thus far.
Oh, really?
Okay. So 9 was both for us Fallen Angel, obviously, same song, same album. And then I went with one from Flesh and Blood, and you did too.
I did too.
Well, I just went with one from Open Up and Say Ah on this one too, but it's Love on the Rocks.
Oh, Love on the Rocks.
The opening song.
Okay.
In my notes, I have it that it's a great opening song to an otherwise mediocre album.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. I mean, I think Open Up and Say Ah is like a mediocre album, you know? It's okay. I think Love on the Rocks might be the heaviest riff on the album.
I think it probably is. And, you know? And You Can Look But You Can't Touch is probably second on that. Yeah.
I don't know. I just like how I like how the chorus and I just like how it blends in with itself. I don't know. I think it's a good opener. I think it's a great opening song for them. So Look But You Can't Touch, my number 7. Yours was, Look But You Can't Touch, your number 7.
Yeah.
My number 7, Love on the Rocks.
Yep.
Devil's grin. She kind of stared me down as I looked her up. She said, I'm your poison, now you drink a cup. In the heat of the night is when she comes alive. She gonna push. She's satisfied. I want your eyes smell fresh on the red hot lips. She whispers, if you wanna taste my love, why don't you swallow this? Uh-huh. Love on the rocks. Love. Let's go!
Okay. You ever had a chick tell you, look, but you can't touch?
Oh, plenty. Too many, actually.
Too many. Have you ever told that to a chick, though?
That would be a no. Yeah, never.
Yep. Yeah, no.
My song's more like, please touch, look, and like, you can look if you want.
Yeah,
but...
look and please touch. You, yeah. That's your song?
Yep.
Okay, so number, what was that, seven for us?
That was seven. We're number six.
We're on number six, getting down to top five. Yeah. You made a comment during the last little music interlude there that we haven't had, interestingly, we haven't had anything from Look What the Cat Dragged In yet, either mm-hmm. of us. And we both sort of, gave a nod to that, being like, yeah, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah,
because
right.
There may be, this may be heavily weighted as we get down further. But anyways, number six, what do you got, number six?
My number six, also a hit. You mentioned it earlier, and I do kind of, I love this song.
Something to Believe In, I knew it.
Nope, not Something to Believe In. Off the same record, though, off Flesh and Blood.
Ride the Wind.
Ride the Wind.
Ride the Wind.
Number six. I love the way he sings that damn song. I love the chorus of that
Ride
song.
Ride the Wind. I feel like that's that could be your theme song after a heavy Mexican meal.
It's true.
You know? So
that's Ride the Runs.
Ride the Runs. My number six, and yeah, I like Ride the Wind. I like a lot. I mean, I thought... I don't know. I think it's a song that sounds to me... a little different. It almost sounds to me like Ride the Wind was like more kind of akin to like what Poison sound could have started to become, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Less kind of cheesy and funny and more like, you know, like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a different song. Mm-hmm. It sounds
kind of, in
yeah.
my opinion, it kind of stands out on that album a little bit, to be honest with you. I mean, it doesn't make my list, but it still stands out to me.
How could it not? It's so good.
It is a good song. Okay, my number six, Back to Native Tongue, baby.
Oh, God.
Back to Native Tongue. Bring It Home, my favorite song on the album.
I don't even know that.
Yeah, it's a good rocking song. It even has a little bit of a Richie Kotzen vocal added to it. You know, he's kind of doing a call and answer there with Brett Michaels in some parts of it. Like I said, my favorite song, I think the best song in the album. It's got the most grit, little mid-tempo song. Love the riff. And there's also a rare F-bomb dropped in that song by
really?
Brett Michaels. Yeah, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And Brett Michaels he's going a little Kid Rock on us here, dropping a little wow. F-bomb there. Yeah, yeah, you believe that? So Bring It Home. Yeah, I like me some Bring It Home. I don't know. You know I like that album, so I'm going to like these. I'm going to like that song. So Bring It Home for me and Ride the Wind for you. Those are our number sixes. Next up is top five.
Hearts of fire. Streets of stone. Modern warriors. Saddle-lined horses of chrome. Taste the wild. Lick the wind.
here. Mr. Politician, just keep on dishing your shit for the TV screen. Turn off his camera, he dropped the propaganda fest of poverty that he just seen. You gotta bring it home. Bring it home. See his campaign run by the power of phones. He's making all the deals he can. Isn't it funny what greed and money can do to the soul of a man? We don't see nothing, hear nothing, just get the new stuff and down our throats of ten. Makes it hard to conceive who the fuck to believe, but I don't see no means to an end till we bring it home.
I really think that you have to give the album Native Tongue a little bit more time to your ears. You got to listen to that thing. Like, go work out, gym, listen to it, jam to it.
I'll get it motivated.
Get into it. Get into it.
I've renamed it Native Dung, actually.
Native Dung?
Native Dung, yeah.
You got to get into that.
It's crap.
It's Richie Kotzen.
He's, I need my CC DeVille.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. I listen to it, and to me, I don't listen to it as it's. You know what I mean? How we've talked about this before,
right?
Like some of the stuff like that they did in the '90s, like Warrant's "Doggy Dog." Love that album, but I don't listen to that with the same ear I listen to Cherry Pie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To me, that's a different band, almost different Warrant.
And I could do that.
This is a different Poison.
I just, you know me. I don't like the bluesy stuff. I don't like the gospel choir stuff. I don't like. That's not heavy metal to me. I can't get into it.
I don't think anybody would ever categorize Poison. Yeah,
not
as
the rest
metal.
Of it's heavy metal,
yeah,
but you know right. what I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, number five. We're at our top
Maybe
five,
the problem man. Is that it's not really glam enough for you when you think about Poison. You know,
could very well be.
You know, give me my Let's Get Busy Under the Covers and not this. You know, Bring It On Home.
Yeah, it could very well be.
Okay, so we're at number five. Top five. Here we go. Five. Top five. What's your five?
This was probably
five Poison songs. Here we go.
This is probably the toughest one to put on my list. Honestly, I did not want to put this song on my list.
But you felt obligated?
I did, and I went back and listened to it for like the cheese that it is and the lyrics and the, you know, the instrumentation. I was like, it is a fun song.
Okay.
I don't need nothing but a good time. It was a fun song.
That made your list, and let alone your top five.
That made number five.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was, like I said, it was hard to put on there. Now that I just heard Ride the Wind again, I actually probably would have bumped it down one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it did. It's just you know.
Nothing but a good time, huh?
That's Poison to me. That is a Poison song, you know?
It's definitely a Poison song. It also could be a Bud Light song.
It's true.
But yeah, you know, I think to me it's just overkill. You know, I mean, it's
it really
like
is.
With that song, I mean... That it's especially since I've also played that song with bands before a million times, so
right.
I'm just so like, oh. But if you want to really say that it's a not quintessential, but
yeah,
I guess it is quintessential,
yeah.
But it's also very, very indicative of what Poison was.
It is,
you know, it's very it's Poison.
Probably
like
why
you said.
I like it.
Yeah,
yeah.
My number five is not so indicative of what Poison was, but I think one of their best. Deep cuts of all time. Deep cut, Come Hell or High Water, Flesh and Blood.
Come Hell or High Water.
Yeah,
okay.
Just to God, such a good deep cut. I think it's a standout song on this album, which this album can be a little bluesy at times too, but it's not. It's more of a standout song. It's got a lot of balls, for a Poison song, you know, off that album. It just doesn't sound like... It doesn't sound bubblegummy like the rest of it.
It's probably why I didn't pick it. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done in the middle of the song. It kind of has this interesting like breakdown, basically, where it gets all like, you know, like it does one of those. You know, I probably wouldn't have done that the breakdown like they did, but it doesn't last very long. So I'm like, okay, I'm okay with it. But yeah, Come Hell or High Water, for me, I don't know. I like that song. So that made my top five. It starts out my top five. What about number four for you?
We don't need to play nothing but a good time. You could turn off our podcast and hear it on any radio
That's
station.
That's right.
You know?
Just turn on the radio station. What song for you is number four?
My number four, I finally break in to Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Yep.
Finally
yep.
hitting it now.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know if I leave it from this point on. My number
see.
Four yeah. is, oh, God. This was hard to not put at number one, honestly.
Right.
The opening song, Cry Tough.
Okay.
Love that song.
Okay. Yeah. I think Quite Tough is awesome. Matter of fact, I heard that was actually, if I remember right, that was the first single off that album.
Really? And
they were all thinking that was going to be the biggest ever, like the producers, everybody was thinking that's going to be the best song, the biggest song on that album. You know, obviously it turned out, look, Don't Talk Dirty to Me ended up being the biggest song, right?
Yeah.
And then I Won't Forget You.
I Want Action.
And then I Want Action. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Cry Tough, I think, was the first.
So good.
I think, and I love the beginning. And then that guitar comes in. Yeah. That's so great.
And it's not nearly as like cheesy as the rest of the album.
Yeah. Actually,
it's the more serious song.
It is. Actually, you're right. I mean, if most of the songs have an element of cheese to them, it's one of the ones that. I mean, when we say it's not as cheesy, that's what we're saying. It's not as cheesy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's some good old-fashioned poison cheese to it still. Right. But okay, my number four also, here comes Look What the Cat Dragged In, because we're going to probably start seeing it be heavy from here on out. But my number four is actually from the same album. It's Blame It On You.
Blame It On You.
Yeah, okay, I think it's like song seven. Good song. Again, one of the deepest cuts on this album.
Song eight.
Yeah, song eight. You got it there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's. I feel like it's not as fruity patootie as some of the stuff on there.
Yeah,
it's definitely a deep cut, and Blame It On You.
Good song.
It's got some of that. It's got some of that maybe punk appeal to it too. But yeah, it's a good song.
Waste all my money, spend all my time. I ain't got no love, I can't change the mind.
Okay, top 10 poison songs by yours truly, and across the way from me, his truly too. You should be drinking a Truly, actually, knowing you. You're more of a, you know, you like the hits, you like the fruity songs, you should be drinking a Truly. But instead,
I'm listening to Poison right now. It probably would be fitting.
That it would be.
Or Bartles and James or something, you know.
But instead, you're drinking a pastry stout,
God, this,
which is about as fruity as
flavor. Who would have thought? Tiramisu
flavored beer.
Tiramisu, yum. God, so good.
Okay, number, what are we on here? We're on number three.
Number three.
Yeah, top three. Oof, now
top
it's getting down
three,
to it. What's your number three?
I'm staying at Look What the Cat Dragged In. I'm going to probably the hit that got it all started, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Talk Dirty to Me. No matter how many times I hear that song, I love it. I love the lyrics. To me, that is like 80s glam hair metal to the T right there. I love it.
Yeah, I agree to an extent. I mean, that you're right. That song and like, look, you know, Nothing But a Good Time, pure poison.
Yeah.
Pure poison. That's what poison is. If anybody, you know, if aliens came down, ancient aliens were to come back again, and they wanted to know, you know, they said, take me to your leader, and what is this poison stuff?
Yeah, that's
you would play some of these songs, like Look What the Cat Dragged, Talk Dirty to Me, and Nothing But a Good Time. Quintessential, absolutely epitomizes poison.
And that's why I listen to them. Not for the swamp juice.
But I didn't put that song on there. So for me, number three, however... the aforementioned Cry Tough.
Good choice.
Cry Tough.
Good. I knew that'd make your list.
It is. So that's three. We got top two songs. Top two, which are the best two Poison songs? Guaranteed my two will be better than yours, but let's find out. Top two Poison songs per you and I are coming right up here. So, you know, have you seen Poison in concert, by the way?
Yeah, I just saw Motley Crue.
Yeah, you just did. That's right. Is that the first time you've seen them?
No, I've seen them several times.
You have? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the only time I ever saw Poison in concert was when they did the, it was right about the time when CC just came back.
Oh, really?
It's like 2000, 2001, like somewhere Hollyweird, there.
Pre-Hollyweird,
but right when CC came back. Huh. And they toured with Cinderella.
Ooh.
And it was, who was the other band? I want to say it was Poison, Cinderella, and damn if it wasn't maybe like Firehouse.
Ooh.
Trickster. No? Was it Ooh. Trickster? Might have been Trickster. It was something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, I know it was Poison and Cinderella. I have to go back and look. Maybe I'll go back and look before this episode's over because I want to remember. There was three bands.
Wow.
I want to say the other one was kind of like a lower tier one, like a Trickster or like a, you know.
A Jackal or something.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Jackal, but anyways, okay. So, your number two of all time Poison song is what?
My number two better be your number two or number one. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let's find out.
Because it is, I mean, I would say it's a deep cut because it's not one of the releases.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But it is the self-titled track.
Look What the Cat Dragged In. That's your number two.
I love it. Okay. You know, it's got a little bit, it's cheese factor, but it's got a little bit of heaviness, a little more heaviness
it
to
does,
it, you
it
know,
does, yeah.
than the
yeah.
other songs. Not a little is, less bubblegummy.
You know? It is less bubblegummy.
And
less
I love
glammy,
the cat track. Less, yeah, and I yeah. love how he sings that, man.
Yeah. I would say that song kind of almost like if the, that, like that song and Cry Tough are almost kind of different than the rest of the, like one
they
of
are.
These,
they
one,
really
two
are.
Of these kids are doing the wrong thing. Two of these kids are not uh-huh. the same. You know, it's kind of, they're a little different than most of the stuff on that album. I might even throw Blame It On You on in there too. It's like,
I would
there
agree.
Were some that all are very, those. Very, you know, glam, like, and then there's some songs that are a little bit deeper, but yeah. My number
I'd
two.
I'd be interested to see, like, if maybe those three songs were a little older,
yeah.
like from their club days, and the record label's like, you know what? you could put like three or four of those on, and the rest, we want more bubblegummy stuff.
That's probably,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it could have been. Yeah, it could have totally been.
So, what about you? What's
my number two is we're going to actually go all the way. We're going to go away from Look What the Cat Dragged In, and we're going to go all the way up into Swallow This Live.
What?
Yeah. If you can believe that. There's a song on there. You know, Swallow This Live is a live album, but at the end, there was three, four, whatever, new songs not released before. And one of them that was on there, I remember hearing this song like post 2000. I never really knew it came out because I'd kind of divorced myself from Poison in the 90s. And then I heard it again like post 2000, I think. And I remember thinking, I never knew this song. And I remember I was like, damn, this is a good song. And more I've listened to it over the years, I really like it. I feel like this is the song, like if this is the direction, like it feels like, this feels like, and I think the album, I think it was recorded, Swallow This Live, I think it was like in the 93-4 range, maybe something like that. Uh-huh. I'd have to look it up again. But you know how Motley Crue with Primal Scream were like, or Rat with Nobody Rides for Free?
Mm-hmm.
Like we felt like, damn, it's just a shame that Motley Crue, like the whole grunge thing had to happen. Because Motley Crue going forward, had Primal Scream been what they would have sounded like with Vince, you know, instead of ever getting John Corabi, or if Rat would have stayed together and Nobody Rides for Free would have been more how they sounded through the 90s.
Right, yeah.
They were going in a great direction with those songs. This song, I feel like, is where it's kind of the same with Poison. Like, I feel like it could have been their direction they were going in, and it would have been cool. It would have been better. But the song is called So Tell Me Why.
So Tell Me Why. 1991. Swallow
91.
This Life.
Okay, mm-hmm. 91, Swallow This Life. So again, yes, that kind of early 90s era. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, the tides were changing. And I just feel like it's a mature, different version of you know, Poison. You know, they're really starting to kind of, they could have been the direction they went in. Mm-hmm. Again, I kind of chalk it up to like Crue, Primal Scream, Rat, Nobody Rides for Free. Both were like 92, 91 in that era.
Yeah.
So I love So Tell Me Why. So that's my number two. And then, oh my God, we got number one coming up. What is the best song for you and for me here? Okay. It's coming. It's coming. Yeah, So Tell Me Why. Great song.
Not bad.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Definitely better than Native Dung. Native Dung.
Native Dung. Oh, you're so clever, Danielson. Okay, so number one. God, we're down to the number one song.
Number one. You know, it was hard for me to not put Look What the Cat Dragged In as number one.
Yeah, I was a little bit shocked that that ended up as your number two, because I'll just come right out and say it. That's my number one.
That's your number one.
That's my
number
one.
See, I knew it. I called it.
I feel like it's easily their best song, like period, and then I wrote the word period and then put a period after that.
Okay.
So it was their best song, period, period, period.
And I'll tell you what, I'll agree with that, with an asterisk, okay? I'll agree with that statement. That is their best song. That's their best song.
Okay, all right.
The reason for the asterisk is that, to me...
Something to believe in. I knew it was coming.
I want action.
I want action is number one.
Action to me is poison, okay?
Wow.
When I first heard that song, So
what you're telling me is you like your poison to sound like poison.
I do.
That's what I'm gathering from this episode. If you want your poison, you want it to sound like poison, goddammit.
I do, and that song, because think about it. Think about this, okay? For nostalgia's sake,
right.
That's why I like it number one, for nostalgia's sake, okay? Yes, it's played out. Of course it is, but... Just think about it.
That song, maybe not as much as some of them, but yeah.
I want action. When that came out, when that was released and put them on the map, right?
Yeah.
That song was so different than a lot of, than any kind of like Motley Crue or Rat or Twisted Sister type stuff. Way different.
Yeah.
You know, different sounding lyrics, different, I mean, you know, different sounding vocals.
Mm-hmm.
CeCe's guitar playing was different than everyone else's. Like, and then you see, you know, that song made me want to go buy the record. And then I see the record, I'm like, I didn't know these were hot chicks singing this song. Now I really want the record, you know?
Was that one, was I Want Action before Look What the Cat Dragged In, release-wise?
I thought it was. I could be wrong. I could definitely be wrong.
You know?
But that's the first song I remember when I was a kid.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See, the first one I remember is Talk Dirty, but you might actually be right because, I mean, hell, Cry Tough came out before both of those. So maybe I Want Action was actually, maybe it was before.
And as far as lyrics go, those lyrics are poison.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is quintessential poison.
Yeah, I want action tonight. Satisfaction.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good, it's a good song. You're right. That is total poison. And so for me, though, Look What the Cat Dragged In, easily, and like I said, easily their best song. So it made number one for me. Wow, I'm surprised you don't have I Won't Forget You.
I don't like that kind of cheese.
No, I'm surprised you don't have that. My goodness, I'm surprised. That was a, you know what, to be honest, of all the poison ballads, I think that's by far and away their best ballad.
Really?
Absolutely. It's way better than the
Life Goes
Thorn,
On.
Thorn.
Oh, every rose has a thorn.
Every rose has a thorn.
Oh, yeah, of course it's better than that.
So I
and
really,
it's better than Something to Believe In.
Yeah, well, see,
I don't think it's better than Fallen Angel or Life Goes On.
Well, see, I don't consider Fallen Angel
a little more
mid-tempo ballad. And to be honest with you, up until now, I do like Life Goes Life Goes On?
Goes On, yeah.
I do like Life Goes On. And up until now, like when you and I first talked about it, I would have thought it was a little bit more mid-tempo song, but then we heard a little clip of it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a much slower song. And I like that one, but really, on each album, there was like this, each album kind of had like a ballad, right?
Right.
Like of the three, that's my favorite ballad.
Oh, I agree completely.
You know, Something to Believe In and Every Rose or I Won't Forget You. I Won't Forget You is my favorite ballad by them.
Yeah.
And actually it was kind of a cool video for Poison. It was, it was more like just like a footage video, you know what I mean? Like footage in concert, footage backstage.
I love those kind of videos back then.
I know, I do too.
God, I
know.
I love
it
those.
It wasn't like all silly and stupid and
it was
stuff like that.
Montage-y type stuff from the road. And
yeah,
I loved it.
It wasn't like one of these ones where they're pretend like they're on stage before like one of their concerts and they're just dancing
like
around.
Home Sweet Home kind of like that. I love that kind of like.
And stuff. They don't have. I love the videos in the 80s when they were like, they would like shoot a video of the band. It would be like they'd be on tour. Maybe even the opening act, and they would put them on the stage before one of the shows, like in, you know, like they're supposed to play Chicago that night, but they get the stage all set up and they play the song and they shoot the video and they're all dancing around. And usually the singer didn't even have a microphone, you know, it's just like so stupid.
Guitars weren't plugged in,
you know, and it's just, the drum beat, he's all off on it, you know, and there were so many of those though.
So many
of the 80s rock videos were them on a stage with no audience, or what they would do is they would show them up there. You could tell there was no
audience.
They cut
to
a quick audience clip, and you look like there's an audience out there, and then there wasn't. But yeah. So, all right. Well, that will conclude what you and I consider our top 10 Poison songs.
That was a good show. I liked it.
Yeah. And I mean, some definite similarities with the exception of My Native Tongue.
Yeah,
you don't like that one, but a lot of similarities there. And I think, you know, if you were to, you remember how I said, what would you give Poison on a scale of 1 to 10, so to speak? like, where do they, do you feel like they fit comfortably in your cycle of 80s stuff? Are they, let's say now you put all your 80s listening in one bag, mm-hmm. right? Or in one, on one spectrum. Does Poison, I mean, do they fall, you know, towards the upper end, towards the lower, meaning like they're a band you listen to a lot? Do you put them on a lot of playlists, or is it kind of more like, you know, if it comes up, it comes up, or if I hear it on the radio, I hear it on the radio, but you know.
No, I definitely think, I mean, of course it's going to be mostly Look What the Cat Tracked In album, but yeah, they're definitely in rotation on mine and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd and say, now after doing this show and hearing them all over again, I think I rated it as like a 6 before or something.
Sure.
I think I'd probably bump it up to a 7 now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it is kind of funny when you have the luxury of, not that anybody else couldn't do this, but when you have the luxury of having to prepare for doing a podcast, you know, a lot of times you'll go back and you'll do stuff like listen to Poison albums that you haven't listened to in their entirety in forever, you know, and you'll listen to them and you'll go, oh yeah, right. that. And same with, you know, any other episode we do, you know, the last episode we did. I mean, I probably hadn't listened to Metal Health, you know, as a full album in a long time. So, but yeah, it is interesting. So yeah, I would say Poison for me. Love Look What the Cat Dragged In. Some good stuff off of Open Up. Some decent stuff off of Flesh and Blood.
Flesh and Blood.
And again, for me, I actually like Native Tongue a ton. Like I like almost all the songs on there. A couple of them I can do without, but a lot of them I like on there. I really do.
My picks would go in sequential order. The first album is number one. Yep. The second album is number two. Number three, number four.
Yeah, for me, I would have to really bog down and see if I liked Flesh and Blood or Open Up and say, ah, better. I think like Love on the Rocks, I like better than anything on Flesh and Blood. Mm-hmm. But I think I like Come Hell or High Water and Flesh and Blood, the song, mm-hmm. as a two pack better than anything on you know,
right.
as a two pack on the other one. So I don't know. It'd be tough for me there. Those two can go one or the other. I actually, to be honest with you, as a complete record, I might move Native Tongue up second. I have to say it. All right. Well, this is Headbangers Rock Show, and we're done.
We're gonna go out with the I Want Action, and we got to go out with those two songs.
Of course. Right? We wouldn't do anything else. I mean, I could go out with an Ace Frehley song or something if you want.
I mean, I don't mind that either, but it doesn't really fit the motif.
I could do a Wham song. I could do anything. I this computer right, I have the power right here. I can play anything,
power.
Anything you want to end the show. But probably we better stick with what is apropos to the show, and that would be Poison. So, yeah. Thanks for listening to our top 10. Hopefully, it's similar to your top 10. Otherwise, you suck. No, you
don't. You know what? Hit us up on Facebook, like we mentioned, and let us know what
your
number one.
I'll put a little post out there. Yeah, I'll put a little post out there as this show drops. See if anybody wants to chime in what their favorite Poison songs are, and we'll get to it. So,
and I want
to
know
how
many people agree with old Chris 51 that Native Dung is a horrible record.
Ooh, I might just put a poll out there.
Yes.
See if if Native Tongue gets any respect. Is that a good Poison album? Ooh. Oof. That might be a poll. I'll put that out there. We'll see. And we'll come back and, you know, maybe you're right, but maybe I'm right. You know?
We'll see.
I think if I'm right and it gets like above 50% like good, I think you got to put that like album on rotation for like a week or so, just straight listen to nothing but that.
That's torturous.
So yeah.
Talk about making me cry tough. That's torturous.
And then you won't forget it.
That's true.
All right. So we'll see you guys next time. Headbangers Rock Show. Until then,
I'm Chris 51. You stay metal.